Wondery Plus subscribers can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free right now. Join Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts.
The wait is over. Dive into Audible's most anticipated collection, The Best of 2025, featuring top audiobooks, podcasts, and originals across all genres. Our editors have carefully curated this year's must-listens, from brilliant hidden gems to the buzziest new releases. Every title in this collection has earned its spot. This is your go-to for the absolute best in 2025 audio entertainment. Whether you love thrillers, romance, or nonfiction, your next favorite listen awaits. Discover why there's more to imagine when you listen at audible.com/bestoftheyear.
Hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to talk about. This is part two of the recap. If you missed part one, go check out your podcast feed. It's right there. And without further ado, let's get right back into the recap.
We start with Whitner, actually, in the next scene. The alarm goes off and the house is a mess. There's flies everywhere. No one cleaned up anything. And it's 4:35 a.m. But the clock, some eagle-eyed screenshot taker posted... Someone posted a picture of the alarm clock saying like 6:38 or something.
Well, it was pretty bright out for 4:30 in the morning. Even if it is the summer, it was very bright. So I was like, excuse me, producers, you cannot fool me. This is not 4:30 in the morning lighting.
I'm not getting there at 4:30. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll get there at 6. Okay. We can just say it's 4:30 and you can pretend to run because don't pay me enough for this shit.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. I was like, damn, they got that crew there early. So he wakes up and he says that he wakes up at 4:35 sharp every day because he's a creature of habit and routine is important to me. Well, now I know why she left. She's so sick and tired of that fucking alarm going off at 4:35 in the morning. She's like, you know what? I need a guy who's going to sleep until 7 a.m. Bye.
That is a damn good reason to leave.
Because, you know, he gets up at 4:35. He left the dog out. The dog is barking in the yard. There's so much noise. This person, his ex-girlfriend never had sleep. It all makes sense.
So his dog is named Bacchus, and I looked it up, and it says he's the Roman god of wine, agriculture, fertility, ecstasy, revelry, and the Roman equivalent of the Greek god Dionysus. He symbolizes liberation, the wild, and the transformative power of wine celebrated in... That's just a lot of pressure to put on a dog.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Especially a dog that wakes up so early. I feel like if that dog's doing all that stuff, like, let it sleep in.
So we see him do his stuff. He goes, takes the dog out. He goes running. He meditates, which is lying on the couch for a while, which I'm into that. I do that every morning too. I didn't know I was so positive. I wake up, I take the dog. I don't run, but I wake up, I take the dog out, and then I lie on the couch for an hour. So
yeah. And then at 7, so he meditates. And then this is like the doughy version of that viral thing that went around earlier this year. You know that guy, Ashton Hall? He's like the muscle man guy who, like, his whole thing was wake up at 3:30 in the morning and I dunk my face into a bowl of Sarasota water. And then, like, I go and I, like, brush my teeth and then I dunk my face again. And then I swim 3 laps and then I, like, do a workout routine and then I dunk my face again. It was this thing. It had, like, millions and millions of views and everyone was parodying it. But he's like this, like, totally... Like he's selling this aspirational lifestyle where if you're like this, you can be like me, like muscular and you know, beautiful. But this is like the Whitner version where it's like, yeah, I wake up at 4:30 in the morning and I run around and then I meditate. And by 7 a.m., I'm going off to work. But it's like it's more like the common man's version of the Ashton Hall aspirational wake up in the morning thing. Also, the Ashton Hall thing is totally contrived and no one ever believes he actually does that. But it was fun seeing the Southern Charm version.
I get up, I go to work. Inspiration. Yeah, Ashton Hall, I'm looking him up.
Yeah, which, by the way, this is already significantly more effort than any of the other guys on this show ever do, which is waking up, walking a dog, running, and actually going to a job.
The pictures that come up when you look him up is a bicep as he's lifting a weight, and then him staring into the him staring into the mirror, brushing his teeth with a black piece of tape over his nose.
Yeah, that's his. And he sleeps with this thing over. It's like the guy, he's actually a ridiculous influencer. He's so stupid. Like, his stuff is so stupid. It's kind of, like, because it's all fake, right? Like, he's like, this is what I do every morning, is that I can wake up and I swim laps at 3:45 in the morning in my pool that's suspended over Los Angeles. Like, he rented a spot. He has like a butler show up. I mean, it's so over the top and so stupid. But I just love that we have like the Whitner version of it.
Whitner. So we see him do all of his stuff. It's really boring. Like, I'm really bored with him. And then if my boner isn't less bone, if my boner isn't non-bony enough, okay. If my boner was non-existent, okay. Point is, I can't get a boner, because then he calls his mom. I'm like, oh my God, why does everybody on this show call their mom every day? Is that normal? Do you call your mom every day? I love my mom, but I don't call her.
I love my mom.
Every day of my life.
My mom's an icon. Icon. Yes, queen. Don't call every day.
Well, I'm not asked too much.
I hate talking on the phone also. Let's be honest.
My mom doesn't even ask me what I'm doing. She says, what aren't you doing? God, just think about that. Think about that. No, but I'm not taking that shit every day. No way.
Here's what cracks me up. So Whitner described his mom last week. He said that his mom was like an anarchist. She's like, fuck the system, man. And we see like a picture of her like giving like a middle finger or being like, fuck this. It's like, wow, she's such a rebel, right? Wow, his mom's a rebel. So he FaceTimes his mom, who is like in France at some estate, being like, well, I'm just here in our French estate.
Yeah.
Her estate.
Isn't that,
I was like,
her
wow,
estate?
Look at that. Look at that anarchist.
And then he shows us another home, their big family farm home and all
their
this.
Compound.
Like, yeah, my mom's a real fuck you.
Yeah. Fuck the system.
But
fuck
like
the system and the
I
way.
I like that he's the way.
Imbalanced.
Yeah.
Go on.
Fuck
go
this
on.
Unfair, unbalanced system. I will talk about this from my third home. So I have my baby boy. Oh, what's up? Why are you calling me? He's like, oh, just calling to catch up, mama. How's France doing? She's like, oh, it's awesome. You know what? I love the whole idea of Provence. I just love that idea. What a good idea they had. It's really, really cool.
Hey, yeah, can you see the house in this FaceTime? Can you see the house? He's like, uh-huh. Oh, my God. Is that an olive tree in the middle? Classic anarchist tree. Olives. Huh.
Well, I'm a mama's boy through and through. I'm a favorite to the extent that me and my oldest sister, my sister-in-law, will walk in the house and she'll squeal and give me a hug. And that's like my sister-in-law's. Wait, his oldest sister is named Law? I thought he was talking about his oldest sister-in-law, but I think he's saying my oldest sister, Law. Maybe her name's Laura or something.
Maybe like Lauren. Law. Yeah, her name's probably like Lauren and they call her like Law.
Well, that would be really fucking annoying to be named Law and then have your brother become the lawyer. I would be so.
And your mom be an anarchist. How awkward.
Yeah.
The mom is like, I fucking hate laws. No offense, sweetie. So Whitner is saying that he's sad that he's not in France. And she's like, well, you know what? You can come back anytime. But you know what? Let's do something when we get home. Which home is that? I don't know. When you're an anarchist, it's hard to keep track of the number of houses you have. Am I right?
Well, I grew up on a small farm called Itchy Grass Farm.
Itchy Grass.
I want to run this family off the road. Like, I want to get a big truck and just run their minivan off through it. It's 500 acres, and it has, like, the big house, and that was my childhood home. And then there's a couple cabins back there, three cottages, a barn, and, like, a garden pool. It's a compound. It's basically a compound.
I love going to Itchy Grass Farm, but sometimes I like to switch it up by visiting our other compound known as Rashy Leaves Meadows. God, I love that place, too.
My family got this compound back in the day when it was called Itchy Ass Farm, and there's a reason for that. But, geez, add a G on there, and we got ourselves a compound. God, I love this family.
Then it would just be Itchy Gas Farms, but we had that one, too. So then Beth is like...
You're right. So we did need to get an R as well. You're right.
We went through a few revisions until we could make it somewhat acceptable to the locals.
Uh...
There was that time we called it itchy nipples, but that did not go over well. It was a total deviation from the previous modeling.
Back when Mamaw first bought it, it was itchy mass farm, but mostly because she gained a lot of weight.
We also had itchy bass farm, which is when Dad was going through that phase of getting all those singing basses and put them on the walls.
Mom almost got in a car wreck once and changed it to itchy mass farms, but God, no one could sit there through church so much. I'd just rather die young. Know what I'm saying?
Beth is like, okay, what else is going on? I feel like you're telling the audience about all the naming conventions we have for our farm, and no one wants to hear that.
It's better than my entire storyline so far in these first three episodes, Mama. Well, I'm going to disagree with you, honey. Okay, now tell me about your birthday party. Province ain't just sitting here waiting for you. Okay, there are lots of things to do, lots of maids to order around. Get on with it.
Well, the party was a success, except for the fact that I couldn't help thinking about my ex and how she'd sleep to that god-awful hour of 6:30 a.m. You would have been proud. You would have loved it. Okay.
I had five different kinds of pasta, Mama.
Were any from Provence? No. Well, then why were we even talking?
And you're still single? I'm still single. Thank you, Mom. Jeez. Yeah, I somewhat feel the pressure of settling down and doing the wife and kids thing, you know? And then we see a flashback of a scene we haven't seen of his mother, Beth, sitting on the porch saying, I've got all these great houses for you guys to come back with when you've got a partner, okay? Because that's the plan. That's always been the plan. We will have no single people in this house. I'm married, Mama. Shut up, Law. No one's talking to you.
As an anarchist, it's very important for me that my children follow the traditional rules of getting married and having kids and moving into the family houses. That's what you call anarchy.
Well, one of the shitty parts of this breakup is not just losing the person. You're losing the whole future. You're losing your past to stay in Provence. All right. But I'm recently on 36 and I'm fine at moving at my own speed. I want to know what you did to that girl that broke up with you. Please, whoever you are, get on TikTok immediately and tell us, because I don't know whether to trust this person or not.
Yeah. It had to be bad if you're like really giving up a chance to like have live on one of these compounds or in Provence. I mean, these houses are so gorgeous. These people have money. So Beth is like, well, sorry we weren't there to sing happy birthday, but you know what? I can do it now. Winter's like, please don't do that. You really don't have to. No, I wasn't going to. I'm not like your sister Law and her boring ways. Okay. Have fun, sweetie.
So then we go over to Sally's house, and she has two little twin dogs, and they're wrestling on the ground. And she's like, Boots, I don't even know what's wrong with you today, but you did something on this too. And now she's holding a small rug, and Boots is just staring at her like, you got a fucking problem with it? And so she's like, you peed on my scrubs? You peed on my comforter? Come here. You're going outside. This is the weirdest thing you've ever done. I think it's because you're out till 6 a.m. every day, and dogs don't like that. I'm just going to say that right now. That is why he is peeing on your scrubs. There, you're welcome. Go forth.
Maybe the dog had like a body swap moment with Whitner's dog, and the dog is like, I'm used to being woken up at 4:35 in the morning.
Where's the meditation in this house? So she calls her mom, Charlotte. What would this show be without calling our moms? Okay, so she calls Charlotte, and Charlotte's like, how are you? She's like, well, you don't really have service. She's like, am I frozen? It's the look I've been going for years. Finally, I just need everybody to look at me through a phone screen. I'd save a lot of money on the talks. It's like, yeah, Mama, kinda. I mean, well, okay, you're not frozen. I hear you at least. Mama, guess what Boots just did? He peed on my scrubs. It's like, that silly dog.
So you just called me to tell me your dog peed on your comforter? That's it? Okay, well, I guess you got nothing else really going on in your life, do you, huh?
She's like, well, he did it when I was talking to Claire about the baby. Well, you know, I'm not the only mother on this show disappointed that my child is still single. What will people think of me as a mother? A single child.
So Sally's like, I have two sisters, Charlotte and Claire. They both have C names and I'm just Sally. So I guess I'm the odd one out. Anyway, they're 2 years older than me. And I think we all kind of had the same dream, you know, of getting married young and having kids and living all in Greenville together, and they're still up there and they have husbands and kids, and now I'm kind of like, I think it's my turn. I want, you know, my sisters have kids. I think it's my turn to have kids. So that's my thing. I want to have a kid now.
She's a my turn girl. I don't like that. I had a friend who was a my turn girl. which like there just came a certain point of time where she's like, when is it my turn? When is it my turn? I've been to weddings and I've been to this and that. I've had baby showers for other people. When is it my turn? And then when she finally found someone, she's like, it's my turn. Welcome to my bachelor party. I'm going to be the biggest monster. The biggest monster you have ever seen. Why? Because it's my turn and I've been waiting in this line. Oh, really? You got me a stroller without an iPad screen in it? Get the fuck out of here. This is my turn.
Yeah, monsters. They're all monsters. So she's going to clean her closet while her mom watches. And she's like, well, how was your dress up party, honey? She's like, it was fun. Me and Charlie went to Craig's house after that and got in the hot tub. And we didn't really get home until 5 a.m. She's like, don't you know? Like Mammy always said, nothing good happens after midnight. So do y'all just stay up all night chatting? Or are you just being a little trollop, which is why you don't have a husband or a baby yet? Is that what's happening, Sally?
Well, apparently Mammy was never invited to a hot tub at 5 in the morning. Okay? Stop saying nothing good happens after midnight. Everything good happens after midnight. What are you talking about?
Not for Mammy. Mammy owned Gremlins. That's why. She's like, I speak from experience.
Mammy's
still can't go near like, a blender.
Well, also Mammy was known around town for doing cocaine right in the middle of the day. So I don't know that I'd listen to her. She's like, well, what else? She goes, well, so what were you doing? Staying up all night chatting? She's like, what else would I be doing, mother? She goes, I don't know unless it was a menage a trois.
Mother! Mammy's like, stop saying those nasty words. So Sally's basically says that she was up until 4 a.m. in the hot tub with Craig and Charlie and like, this is crazy. It's surprising to me that nothing happened in this goddamn hot tub because here I am up until 4 a.m., which I never do in your hot tub, and nothing happened. So she basically is like, why did we not hook up? Like, what the hell? Like, it's just weird. Like, what man has an attractive younger female in their hot tub and doesn't make a move? Fucking weird, man. It's probably because he wanted to go after Charlie and you were still there.
Yeah, I think that's probably more like it. I think you put both options in front of him and you weren't the chosen one and you wouldn't leave. And she's like, oh my God, mom, all these clothes in my closet, they're just all Craig's clothes from getting in this hot tub without having anything to wear. We go straight from the barn. We don't have our bathing suit. So we'll wear Craig's clothes. I've got so many, been in that hot tub so many times.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So basically Charlotte's like, okay, well, let's just hope Mammy can't see this television show because she'd be real embarrassed of you right now. So don't have to say any more on TV now, honey.
I feel bad for Sally. I feel like she's a Friday bagel. You know, it's like Bagel Thursday's coming up and so excited. And then she's just the bagel that's left there on Friday. You know, she's like a dollar less. It's all dry. Doesn't understand. It's like, I'm a bagel. Why doesn't anybody want to eat me? I'm a delicious carb. I'm a very thick carb.
I think she's more like a Bialy. I think that the problem with, like, I feel like Sally last year, I was really a fan of Sally. I felt like she came in there, was like, fuck these guys, whatever. I'm like a young sexual woman. I was going to be engaged to this guy. I'm not, and I'm happy because I'm just going to live my life. I'm going to live my truth, and I'm going to have fun and do what I want, blah, blah, blah. And this season, there's like a desperation about her that's like a little sad, I think.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
Oh, so then we go to Madison's house and she's grilling with Hudson, which I think it's so cute that Hudson has her exact same voice. She's like, you want to grill? Yeah. He's like, yeah. All right, let's take everything out there. Okay, mama, I took everything out there. Good job, Hudson. I love you, mama. I love you, Hudson.
And they like cut up some steaks and then they serve some. Madison has a dog named Karen, which is so funny to me. you know, I little known fact, you know, with my Roomba that's named Dolores. Before Dolores was Dolores, she originally was named Karen. And because this was like this predated the rise of like the Karen movement. That Karen started in 2020, but like, we got our Roombas before 2020. And so my Roomba was called Karen. And then I decided I needed to give it a Bravo name. So I renamed it Dolores, but it was originally Karen. So the fact that Madison has a dog named Karen, I just think it's really funny because it reminds me of the OG version of my Roomba.
Aw.
Yeah.
Oh, Karen. That's a funny thing. I wonder how many Karens have changed their name to. You know?
I know. I feel bad for
them if they did. Yeah.
I know. But I also think it's like really funny to name a dog or like a Roomba Karen. Like if you take out all the modern concept of like what Karen is, like just the idea of like a little Roomba named Karen is like very funny to me. Or dog. Wow.
So they talk about how Brett's always working, but he's such a good daddy and they're so happy and they got a house and he's going to love the pool house. And it's so great. We're doing great. I'm so happy. So in other words, it's boring. So then we go over to Craig's house and Craig is taking flowers from the kitchen table and moving them. He's like, I've got a place for you. And then he just stands there and looks around the room and he's like, in the kitchen. He puts them back where they were.
He realizes that he no longer has Paige to tell him where to put the flowers, so he just puts it back on the fake waterfall counter.
So there's a knock. Charlie's there, and she's brought paintings over, guys. She's brought 10 different pieces. I don't think Craig ever sent the measurements because they're all different sizes.
Yeah.
There's some tiny, there's some huge. And so he brings some in, and they compliment each other's clothes. And he's like, I like your shorts. You look like a boxer, like a cute boxer, though. When I'm interested in a girl, I definitely play the long game. Mike, I wait until we're divorced to try to have sex with them.
I like him saying that her shorts are like boxers. She's probably like, yep, that's not what I was going for whatsoever. These are not supposed to look like boxing shorts. So thank you. I'm going to return them to the store right after this. Also, when he said, being interested in what she's interested in. And then once you snag her, you can reveal you were never interested in the first place, but it's too late for her to leave.
I'm pretending I'm really into art. Now, she has, I will say, I think she's got talent in what she does because she has read Craig like a book. She doesn't have any panda pictures or watercolors, which is what he's asked for. But she does bring, she brings, everything is that kind of art that looks like finger paints.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a good call.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly what he would need. So she brings it over and she's taking photos of it and everything. And he's like, wow, that actually like works, this painting. She's like, you like it this way? Yeah, that looks amazing. Craig, you're looking at the painting backwards. You're looking at the back. Yeah, but I love the way that wire goes across the canvas. What a provocative image. That's literally what you use to keep the picture on the wall. Oh, so that's not the art. No, Craig. So they are putting stuff up and Charlie's like, yes, I like Craig and I definitely think he's interested in me too. But the thing is, I just don't feel like I should have to interpret anything, which I love this for her. I love her being like, I am like, stop trying to kind of flirt and like allude to something. Cause he's all proud of his long game and how he's going to like enchant her over several, you know, months and become friends. And she's like, if you like me, just say you like me. I don't like, what is this bullshit?
Yeah. And so she asked about Austin and he's like, oh, he hasn't talked to me or Shep since the party. And she's like, maybe it's because you yelled at him. He's like, okay, my delivery was terrible. So this is like day sober Craig, where he's like reasonable. Mm-hmm. And she's like, well, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I mean, you've got 37-year-old men yelling at each other about a hot tub. I mean, calm down, because that is crazy.
Did you apologize? Yeah. Well, maybe you should try again. He's like, yeah, but like, I shouldn't have reacted, but like, I'm like, why does me hanging out with Charlie and Sally bother you? Like, how is it any of your business? I mean, says the guy who inserts himself into everyone else's business all the time. And they even showed footage earlier of how, or maybe it comes later, about how he and Shep broke apart Austin and Madison. So like, they always insert each other into each other's business.
Yeah, he's like, last year the whole problem was he had a problem with me staying in the whole year. And so we see that where Austin's like, if I'm going to get a beer and you're on my call list because you just want to hide out. He's like, making money, getting healthy, and fucking my girlfriend, that's what I want to do. And if you're a real friend, you will be happy for someone like that. Oh, for shunk. Look, the fire just came on behind you. Oh, it did? For shunk. I turned it off. It's on a switch. Sucker.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I think the thing is, the reason why Austin and Shep get mad at Craig is not because like, oh, last year they were mad because he wouldn't come out and this year they're mad because he's partying. I think it's because Craig is always spinning a tale about who he is. He's like, I'm just a homebody these days and that's all I want to be is a homebody. It's like, yeah, no, that but they're like, no, we're calling bullshit on that because it's more like you, like, for whatever the bullshit is, we're calling bullshit. And now he's going to, now he's presenting a new version of himself. And so I think they're always just trying to poke holes in these versions that Craig is always putting up, because at the end of the day, you got nothing for nothing. And quite literally, yes, you do get nothing for nothing, because I think what they're saying is that there's no there there with Craig. He was always trying on a new persona and you don't really know who the real one is. And I think the authenticity issues drive them nuts. And not that they're great, any great shakes themselves, but it drives them nuts, which is why they're always trying to poke holes in it, because it's like he's always selling a story about who he is and what he's into now. And this is what he always has been. And how could you even say anything otherwise? And they're like, no, fuck you. We know you're lying right now. We know this isn't the real you. And they're never going to be able to get to the real Craig, because maybe there is no real Craig.
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, but he's been a compulsive liar since the very beginning. I mean, this is the man who lied about passing the bar or taking the bar or whatever. So, yeah, I mean, it's just Craig, you know, that's what you get. It's like people don't necessarily improve like that. They just get either better at hiding or, I mean, I don't even know that he is better.
We have different versions of ourselves. What'd you say?
Nothing. Got excited. We have different versions of ourselves. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, like, we have different versions of ourselves, and that's okay. But I think it's that, like, Craig just sort of, he gets very, I don't know. There's like a fakery about it. And I think that for them, it's like anytime they criticize it, he gets very defensive. And then he accuses them of, like, trying to undermine his well-being and growth, when they're like, no, it's not that. We're just saying, like, be the real you.
Yeah. So he's like, well, Austin's not going to change overnight, and he might not ever change. So if I'm going to continue to be friends with him, I just can't go nuclear on him because he says something I don't like. She's like, yeah, but not just Austin, but like anyone you don't agree with. And he's like, well, I don't do that usually. I was just triggered.
As usual, triggered. Craig is like, I'm just a highly passionate person. So speaking of trying on personas, Craig's not the only one. Here comes Austin, who is now, I'm a cat dad. It's insane right now.
So we had a couple of different guesses in the comments. Some people were saying Piper is because he loves fish, like the band Fish. And I guess that's the thing. And then someone said, no, I think it's from White Lotus, Parker Posey's character, which I think is the ding, 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 right? Because Rodrigo comes over and he's like, what are you going to do when this cat gets on the counter? He's going to say, Popper, no. Which I think is true.
That's exactly.
That's what it is. White Lotus. Yep, that really had an impact. I mean, how many people have we seen on House Hunters moving to Thailand because they saw that? Or what was the one that we just talked about recently? They're like, White Lotus? Yeah. Oh, Real Housewives of Potomac. It's like, oh, it's White Lotus. It's exactly. Mm-hmm. They love their White Lotus.
They love it. And let's not forget that Parker Posey herself modeled some of her character off of Patricia. So there is a direct link to the show.
Yeah, there you go. There you go, Randy. So Austin is setting up his kitty litter and Madison's going to come over with Rodrigo to hang out. And so they do. They come over. And we see the cats. They are fucking adorable. Oh my God. They're so cute. I love a kitten. I wish I could just always say kittens. I'd have 10.
And they're little mews. Oh, it's so cute. I love it. It's like, I really hate that it's working on me so much. I'm like, guys, don't be mean to Austin. He's got kittens.
So they're talking and Austin's like, well, it's like a 15-year commitment. Moo is okay because like I want to have some animals that'll never betray me and like be my friends no matter what.
Oh, well, I'm not going to
heard a lot cats of cat stories. Yeah.
Choice for that. I'm a cat person. Even though I'm saying, yeah.
Google cat horror stories. And he's like, yeah, well, I see friendship as literally being there for somebody when they need you and then eating their face off when they die. Sorry, that's cats.
Yeah, Austin, enjoy having a nice little piece of pottery on the edge of a surface for the next 30 minutes before it's shattered on the ground.
That is battered down with pleasure. Okay.
Hey, enjoy that flat screen TV you have for now until the cat jumps up on it for some reason and tears it off the wall. And then it becomes a TikTok video. So he's setting things up and he's having such an awesome thing. He's trying to set up this some like watering thing for the cat, a self-watering dish. And he's talking to Madison on the phone. He's like, oh, I'm trying to set up their watering dish for running water. Freaking mad. It was like 30 pages long. It's insane right now. I mean, hey, Madison, you want to come over and like meet the kitties and yap with me and Rod and just go through this manual? I mean, it's crazy. I can't even figure it out right now.
Okay, I'll come over there and watch you look like an idiot for an hour. Why not?
So then Shep takes his dog to the best business I've ever seen, which is a dog park for adults that want to have a beer. I mean, this is a great idea. It's actually a nice dog park. There's turf. There's all these toys. There's all these things for the dogs to play on. And then you make money while people sit there all day with their dog. Very, very smart.
It is actually quite smart. It is smart. It's called the Broken Leash Dog Park. And so a little Craig runs off. And there's a golden retriever that like literally has its paws up on the bar. And Shep's like, hey, buddy, come around here often. Gosh, that was hilarious. So he meets up with Molly and her dog, Zoe, and he is doing the awesome thing. He's spraying food all over because he's got food in his mouth and talking. He's like, I got some snacks. This place is amazing. Have you ever been? Gosh, so good. So now they start gossiping about Craig. And Molly's like, so like, oh, I'm sorry. They're gossiping about little Craig the dog because little Craig, there's some water thing and little Craig is going nuts in it and keeps jumping right into it as a hose, jumping into that hose, having the best time ever.
Yeah. So now they talk about Craig and she's, they talk about Austin first. She's like, I haven't even heard of any of these whispers of like issues with Austin and Audrey. And he's like, well, I'm great friends with Austin and he never confided in me, but I was approached in New York and like, obviously I wasn't seeking information. I blabbered, but I didn't do it with ill intent.
Yeah, Craig had the ill intent. Yeah, gosh, Craig seems to be the town crier on that one. You know, Craig and Austin have a lot to sort out, and he used me a little bit to drive the stake in, but I am the one who told Craig, and it's on me. It's me. I'm the villain. It's me. Gosh.
So he says that he's going to bet that Austin runs right back into Craig's arms before him, even though he wasn't the one who did the deed. And it's just this weird, weird relationship they have. Molly's like, y'all need couples therapy. Ooh. And he's like, yeah, we do. We're mad so easily. We press each other's buttons. I mean, we've even gotten Craig to say triggered.
Yeah, that's a lot. You know, and I'm someone who presses buttons up for a living. Euphonium. That's good, though, at least that you feel bad, because a lot of people don't feel bad for the things they do or say. I don't know. I'm just trying to put a positive spin on your dysfunctional ass relationship. I really don't know what to say.
I know. She's like, I'm going to try and make you sound less like a sociopath after you just said something like, yeah, we push each other's buttons and then we weaponize information and share information that we as friends shouldn't share. She's like, well, you're still a good person because at least you know you're a terrible person. So that makes you... Good person. This feels like calculus. This feels like calculus.
I'm working with so little here. I really can't help you. I'm trying to give you a pep talk, but you're really complicit with this situation.
Yeah. So she's like, well, I've been like a super shitty person in my past, so I get it. I'm like, could we go to the past and cast that person? Because I would love to see shitty person Molly on my TV.
Yeah, I would like that too.
So Austin won't even call him back. And Shep's like, you don't think I should call again? Should I all look stupid, right? She's like, well, I mean, if he's not answering, well, maybe you can call him and you can be like, oh, you don't have to say I'm here. Just be like, I met with Shep and he knows you might want to talk with him or see him. I don't know. Could you do something like that?
Well, I don't want to like lie and be like I met with Shep, even though he's sitting right next to me. No, do it. We all do it. It's super fun. Okay. Let's go. Okay. Just call him. He probably won't answer. She's like, yeah, he might not answer. I don't know if I've actually had a conversation with Austin ever before. Am I even on this show? Yeah, you are. Do it. Call. Do this. Come on. Wow, you're calling. Yikes. This gives me the willies. What?
Jay Williker, give him a call. Turn the dials. So he's like, I hate that sinking feeling knowing someone else is hurt and you're part of that. I really don't want to be a force for bad in this world, especially if I care about someone. You know, I'm just a boy.
I'm just a boy standing in front of a friend saying, bro, love me again. Also watch the Vietnam War by Ken Burns. It's so good. Gosh.
So, Molly, she does try calling and he doesn't answer. She's like, yeah, no, he still hates you.
Yep. But he's also busy because he's got kittens. So we go back to Austin's house and Rodrigo is there with the kittens in a basket. And they go up, they come in, they're so cute. And Rodrigo, Austin's like, oh my God, I'm not ready for this. Because, well, you better be, because I don't have a return policy on this pussy. See, I can be a sassy gay. I don't know. I don't get it. Anyway, look at these beauties. Oh, my heart melts every time. Wow. So now Austin's being all like sweet and cute, like cat, hashtag cat dad.
Yeah. And Rodrigo asks about Audrey and he's like, well, I might even drive there and bring the cats because I'm feeling like I just want to get out of town for a little bit. You know, I asked what Audrey's good for. It's a bed to stay in when I can't be in this town because all my friends hate me.
Yeah, seriously. It was amazing to have the support of my girlfriend and the gullibility, too. You know, security with me and Audrey is like here, which is very high. I mean, it's the very, very top. So it's great. So now Madison shows up and she's like, that's a lot of stairs. Wow, you made me really climb very high. And she sees the kittens and they're like, oh, this is cute and everything, and et cetera. So then they start gossiping because that's what they're really here for. So she's like,
yeah, I was really shocked that night. I mean, for me, I know you're going to laugh when I say this, but in a way, Greg, for the last few years, I've really looked up to him. I was like, my God, you've changed. You're doing well. Your business is a priority. Your relationship is good. And it's just like, I mean, is he born for corn? But I just wanted, then he got so aggressive and angry. He just is so quick to flip.
But Craig never really changed, did he? I mean, he behaved a little bit better with Paige, but he still had at least a couple of those flip outs last year. Like, I don't know why.
Yeah, but I think
why everyone's acting like Craig actually just came out of rehab, because he never really concentrated very much on that. He was like, I am an alcoholic. Well, he's drunk. I've never really bought that anyway. But yeah, he has been doing better.
Yeah, he really sold it. That he's now a suburban guy. He wants to have a family. He's a professional. He can't go and party because he has to plant things for Instagram. This is a job. He's going to be the next Martha Stewart. He's growing. He's doing bigger and bigger and better things. And, you know, his business was flourishing and he's killing it. And so, like, they're like, wow, he really did turn things around. But turns out, like, no, still the same person.
Yeah, so she's like, well, I mean, I thought he changed, but he's still a horrible person. And goes, yeah, I mean, Craig just lost it. And that's the thing we hated about Craig, always being drunk and losing it. And then we see a montage of Craig just losing his shit, drunken, cokenly, over the years. 2018, yelling at Austin at a barbecue about Chelsea. God, I lost a lot of the, I forgot a lot of these things.
Yeah. And I also forgot, but I always remembered him yelling at Madison at that reunion, being so vile at that reunion. But I also forgot that, that hilarious wrinkle that like Madison was like the other woman that broke up A-Rod and J-Lo. Like, I still think that I'm so proud of her for that. Like that's
to
insert yourself as just like a small Bravo star into like a full celebrity scandal. Good for her.
Craig was so gross in that. You flew to Miami to fucking XMLB player. Are you a fucking homewrecker? She's trash and I hate being on the same stage as her. Ugh.
Yeah.
Gross.
He was so garbage that reunion. That like, I think forever tainted Craig for me.
Yeah. So Madison's like, well, I thought he was working on being sober. So to see him kind of backtracking, that's unfortunate. I mean, Craig was making it sound like Shep was there witnessing you cheating, but it wasn't even that. I mean, I still have a good TikTok video of you grabbing your wiener and screaming, that's insane, Madison. What does he have? Nothing.
That's exactly what I'm saying. That's what she said that I said. See what I did there? Like, I'm more sad than anything. Like, these were like my friends. They were so happy and so willing to sucker punch me, bro.
So you're shocked that they threw you under the bus then?
He's like, yeah. She goes, well, I'm not. I mean, it's kind of a pattern at this point, don't you think? I mean, anytime you feel like you're in a relationship, these two idiots are single, they're going to try and sabotage it or take it down. And then she tells us, listen, they broke us up. And we see another montage of Craig, but this time it's Craig and Shep being monsters. And God, yeah. They are really assholes. So whenever you fall for this, Shep is such a sweet guy. Just remember this.
She has your hooks in you, man. She has an opening. Why? I want to know why. I want to know why. No, just cut the bait and see ya. Say see ya.
So Rodrigo's basically like, yeah, well, guess what? You're their punching bag. So why do you even give them so much grace? He's like, I don't know, man, because I'm a cat dad. He's like, well, cut the shit, man. He's like, well, because I thought they were my real friends, you know? Ugh.
But obviously they're not.
Dun, dun. Wow, will Craig, Austin, and Chev ever make up?
Yeah, the saga continues.
What is going to happen?
Well, everyone, thanks for being here. What a delight. We'll be back tomorrow with some Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And until then, don't forget to follow us on Instagram, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Watch What Crappens. Bye, everyone.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
It's always a party on Allison Block.
Our way is the Amber way.
It's the Foster and the Furious. It's Amanda Foster.
It's Always Automatic with Ashley Otto.
Put your hands together for Carly Clapp.
Get on the right foot with Chrissy Offutt.
We never miss our call. It's Diane Call.
Sunday in the Park with Dylan Clark.
Big yay, it's Emily Gauthier.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
Hava Nagila Weber.
You'll never hide from Heidi Eleanor Jones.
I go, you go, we all go for Hugo.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
She's our kind of mess, it's Jennifer Messer.
Sipped some scotch with Jessica Trotch.
She's our favorite streamer, Caroline Peacock.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Get a bee in your bonnet with Lacey B.
Que sera, sera, whatever will Lauren Silsby.
She gets an A from us, it's Lindsay D.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Fresh as a daisy, it's Maisie McHenry.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
This is Living with Michelle Vivian.
I love a ya, Olivia Williamson.
She sure is swell, it's Raquel.
Yes, we canna, it's Savannah.
Cast a spell with Shannon Spellman.
Let's share with Sharon Eldridge.
Darn Skippy, it's Tippy.
And our super premium sponsors.
Make way for AJ Lopez.
She's VVIP, it's Amanda V. Can't lose when you're with Amy Baldwin.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Put us on a stretcher, it's Charlotte Fletcher.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper. Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Who, what, why, where, and Gwen Pentland.
Let's go into the woods with Guy Tubbs.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall. Hail the cork master, the master of the cork, Jennifer Corcoran.
We got our wish, it's Jen Plish.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo.
She's a total knockout, it's Katie Manock.
In the study with a candlestick, it's Leslie Peacock.
Gee, it's Lisa H.
We're ride or die for Lisa Ryder Barron. She's a whiz, it's Liz Sarthy.
Always killing it, it's Lola Alkalani.
The incredible edible Matthew sisters.
She eases our woes, it's Melissa St. Rose.
There's a chance of meatballs, it's Rebecca Cloud.
Maximum love for Sandy Maximoska.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
We cannot tell a lie, it's Sarah Tell of Sun.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Please don't stop, it's Soli and Pop.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
You'll always get the full story with Tori Parsons.
She ain't no shrinking Violet Kutar. We love you guys.
If you like Watch What Crappens, you can listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.